On today's episode of the Kojo and JMO show, we have everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks. We've been on sabbatical. We apologize. We had other things going on. I got sick, but we're back. We're back in full force here. So we go through everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks. The Bills, go ahead. The Bills.
The Bills are the greatest team to ever exist, basically, is what Jared was trying to say. Bills are won at least 12 games this year. They got one more game this week. But the Bills are AFC East champs. I'm very excited about it.
Yep, we go through that. All other things, college football playoff, NBA's back. We do Sports Jeopardy question of the day. We do $100 bets. We go into week 17 and the playoff scenarios. All that stuff. Lots of good stuff for you guys, as always. And here we go! Welcome to the Kojo and JMO show. Today is Thursday, December 31st, the last episode of 2020, New Year's Eve. We made it. 2020 is over.
I know, and we're back on the mic after a quick hiatus. We had some illness issues for our friend JMO, and I had some other things going on with my work life the prior week, but we are back. We are better than ever. We are here to talk about sports for the last time in 2020, but you better believe we're going to come back in 2021 pretty strong.
Yeah, thanks for being patient with us. What, you had other stuff going on 2 weeks ago.
I had a bunch of stuff going on.
And then I was like, all right, we'll record next week. And then I got hit with some type of virus. Something happened to me. I was down and out for 48 hours. So I couldn't pull the MJ flu game and come out. But the problem now is, like, anytime that you're sick, people are like, oh, could it be COVID? And I was like 90% sure there was no way. It was mostly just a stomach bug. I was like, I'm
the bubble guts.
Yeah, I don't have COVID, but now everybody is in panic mode, and I had family coming, you know, so went and got a rapid COVID test just to make sure everything was okay, and I tested negative.
There you go.
But now it's the world we live in where...
I hate it. I don't even want to talk about it.
Where you get sick, and then everybody gets nervous of what it could be. Thanks for being patient with us. We're back. Colin dragged me out of bed this morning to do the podcast. We're recording on Wednesday morning, getting it ready for you guys for Thursday, New Year's Eve. So we're back.
We are back in craziness. I just got to open up right out of the gate. The Buffalo Bills won the AFC East. They won at least 12 games. They won the division, proving me right. And they're only going to make it to the Super Bowl. It's really in. We'll get more in depth about it as we go on in the show, but I'm feeling really confident about my Bills right now.
What was your final predictions you made in the preseason? Where did you have the Bills record after seven?
I had the Bills at 12-4.
So you might be.
I think they're resting guys, so they're gonna lose to Miami this week.
That's look at you, just like you were spot on with the Texans at 12-4.
Yeah, I was a little off on that one. Next week we'll do a segment where I was right and where I was wrong.
Yeah, we'll go through your predictions next week.
Very good, I'll say that.
So, like you said, a lot has happened in the past 2 weeks. We've been on a sabbatical, and we just wanted to run through some of the things. You started us off. Bills won the AFC East, and I mean, I was thinking about this. Out of the teams in the NFL, the Bills are probably the third team. Like, you go, I don't want to play right now. I'd say the Chiefs. You don't want to play the Chiefs. Green Bay, they look really good, and I'd say Buffalo is in that same tier.
Yeah, you know, and there was a period during the course of the year, of course, where you and many of my other friends were taking shots at me saying, oh, the Bills stink. And I knew that they were hitting – obviously they hit a rough patch, but I kept saying it's too early to kind of write teams off or say this or that about them. And I stuck to my guns, and not just because I wanted to be right, but because I actually believed that the Bills were a really good team. And I think they're very well coached, and I think that's my favorite part about their team is I'm a big McDermott guy. I love Leslie Frazier, their defensive coordinator, and I love Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator. So I felt really good about them. And I also their special teams coach or coordinator, I'm telling you, is the nicest human on the face of the earth. In film room, he was so unbelievably nice, which is kind of the reverse of what we saw at Bucknell, but, like, unbelievably nice when coaching people up. So, like, the culture in that building is awesome. So I knew they were going to be okay. I knew they were going to be good. So I'm glad I stuck with my guns and didn't, you know, fall to the peer pressure.
Yeah, and that Stephon Diggs trade is just every week it just looks better and better. Yeah, he's a stud.
His really route good. Running is...
I mean, Josh Allen's really good. Yeah, like I said, I think the Bills can compete with the Chiefs. The Falcons can compete with the Chiefs, but so can anybody. But elsewhere in the NFL, the biggest surprise probably the last 2 weeks is that the Jets are the hottest team in the NFL, winning back-to-back weeks when everybody thought they were going to go 0-16.
Yeah, I got to criticize the Browns real quick, and then I'll touch on the Rams who blew it the first time. But the Browns were missing their three starting wide receivers after already being down Odell this year, and they decided to throw the ball 53 times.
Yeah.
53 times. I don't care what was going on in the game. Run the football. Run it. What are you doing? Crazy.
Yep, Browns, big loss. Playoff chances took a hit because of it. And the Jets, and then the biggest surprise, nobody, the Rams were 17-point favorites 2 weeks ago.
I almost was going to say take the points on the freaking Rams, but then they lose. I was kind of happy to see them lose. I don't know why. I don't like the Rams solely because of Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey's a really good player.
Oh, he's awesome. I just can't stand him because he's always yapping his mouth. I hate that.
Well, he's a corner, and that's what corners do. You should know this.
Yeah, not all of us do that. I really did not talk that much, Jared. So if you're trying to infer that I was a talker, I wasn't.
You like to talk.
I got chippy, but I didn't. After every play, after a 13-yard overthrown ball, I wasn't talking trash.
So the Rams, Goff had to get surgery on his thumb.
Yeah, did you see it, by the way, in game when he dislocated it?
No, I did not.
Oh, it was gross. It was gross.
I don't like looking at those things, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither, but I got stuck freaking looking at it, watching the game, because they love to show that stuff on the broadcast.
So I'm pulling up the playoff picture for where the Rams are right now.
If they win, they're in. It's okay. As simple as that. They have the Cardinals this week. Both teams win, they're in. I think that they both have a chance to get in if the Bears lose to the Packers.
Yeah, if the Bears lose, the Rams are in.
If you think about it, though, too, another team that's kind of just coming on hot after being horrible for six straight weeks, the Chicago Bears.
Right.
I'm on record earlier saying they never should have benched Trubisky. Now they come back, and now he's rolling. Nick Foles stinks.
They needed Foles for a little juice. Foles is good for a couple games of juice, and then...
Yeah, then he got him five straight losses until they finally went back to Trubisky. Trubisky at least offers the ability to run, which has really helped that offense these last few weeks. They absolutely piss-pounded Houston. They piss-pounded Jacksonville last week, and now they have the Green Bay Packers in week 17 for all the marbles.
Yep.
If they win, they're in the playoffs. If they lose, they're out. Green Bay, though, they have something to play for it, though, too, because they want to be that one seed, and they want it to come through Lambeau. So, very, very interesting week here in week 17,
yep.
Particularly in the NFC.
And then staying in the NFC, the NFC East, the NFC Beast, the NFC Least. God.
Did they break the wins, or did they, I guess,
22,
not get the record?
22 was the record, right? And let's see, Washington 6, Dallas 6. Math says that's 12. New York has 5, so that math tells me 17 plus 4 is 21.
So they get two wins this week because those four teams play each other.
So they'll end at 23-something-1.
That's crazy.
And the Eagles officially eliminated last week after losing to the Cowboys, and I think it's the best thing that could have happened because the Eagles are not a good football team. and they need to act like they're not a good football team, and they don't need any false hope of, hey, we almost won the division. You know, we were right there where we wanted to be. None of that need to be happen. We need to, you know, they need to take a deeper look at what's going on there and fix those problems. Jalen Hurts looks pretty good. Just looked at your face and you've got a tissue in your nose.
Yeah, I got the sniffles right now, so I got to, you know, plug up the nose. But I think the biggest question with your Eagles going into the offseason, and this is as obvious as anything, is what do they do about their quarterback situation with Jalen Hurts, with Carson Wentz? My head says you got to go with Hurts, but then what do you do with Wentz and his contract?
I think both guys are there next year. And they do a some type of open competition thing and figure it out that way. But yeah, it creates more questions than answers. Hurts has played well, but he certainly looked like a rookie last week against Dallas.
So my question is, though, do you really want a quarterback competition going into next year?
I don't. I really don't.
I just don't find that as a recipe for success, because it, like I've said a million times, it creates unnecessary drama in your locker room and within the media. And particularly in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Like I've mentioned before, this draft pick just created controversy just from the jump. And if Jalen Hurts is the guy, and can get you to the playoffs, then I guess it was a good pick, I guess. But then I don't know. And it's just, it's more questions than answers, like I said. And it's frustrating because I don't know. I think they're, if you're the Eagles, you are so afraid of making the wrong pick on each guy that you keep both of them. Because if you can somehow deal Wentz for, I don't know, a second or something, if you can deal Wentz for whatever, you deal Wentz and he goes off and he goes back to his MVP caliber form, then you look like an idiot. And if you...
Here's the thing. I don't think that teams can fear someone going elsewhere and having success, because that always happens, and sometimes it's just a change of scenery, just a change of coaching staff, so they can't be thinking like that. And I do think Wentz is going to be the one left out. I think Wentz is going to go. There's a ton of quarterback needy teams too, a ton, so there's going to be teams calling, at least, you know, interested in it. Now I don't know all the contract and how all that stuff is going to work out or play out or the rules with it, but that's going to be the biggest hindrance to them getting rid of him.
And there was a source that came out before week 15, I think, before the game. It was Carson Wentz, you know, comes out and says that he won't be a backup, yet he wants to play somewhere else. And Adam Schefter came out and said that. And that's not what he said. Like, he didn't say anything. Adam Schefter came on Philadelphia Sports Radio later in the week, was like, yeah, that's just what I heard from a source close to the – like,
I hate that. That's what
Wentz,
I hate about the
Wentz
media.
Didn't say that, and Schefter is just – making shit up.
Come on, Schefter. Come on, Schefty.
So Eagles, they're in a situation, and it's not a good one. So we'll have to see. I mean, they're a four-win team. There's no hiding the fact that you're a four-win team.
But they're the worst team. They're the worst team in the worst division.
Yes. So I don't know what's going to happen. The Washington football team, the door is wide open.
Gosh, isn't that just such a good story? They gotta win.
Nobody wants to win the division. The door was wide open. They just had to beat a Carolina team.
Ooh, Dwayne Haskins. I guess we can touch on that real quick. He got freaking cut because he was going to strip clubs and losing football games and not throwing to the right team. So he's important. A mess. Yeah,
it's that whole situation. And I mean, you could talk about the Eagles maybe making a bad decision or doing, but at least they didn't get the 15th pick and do
Carson
that
Wentz in Washington ?
It could happen.
I've read a bunch of things about Washington and their future quarterback search, so I mean, I'm curious to see just kind of what happens in the NFL offseason. But I do love the Washington football team. I think their defense is awesome. I love Alex Smith. If he starts this weekend, they win the division to me. Hands down, no questions asked. They're going to win if Alex Smith plays quarterback for them, which at the beginning of the year, if you would have told me the Washington football team was going to win the division because of Alex Smith or be dependent on Alex Smith, I would have said, you're crazy. I just hope he walks.
I know. I would have said, I don't want him to play because I felt like his leg was going to fall off again.
You did say that.
Elsewhere in the NFC South, the Falcons got eliminated. No big deal. They currently have the fourth overall pick, so that's good. The Bucks, your Bucks, they Bucks. Are they've clinched the playoff, clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2007, which was the second longest drought, other than the Browns, which I didn't realize they were the Bucks have made the playoffs in 13 years.
Yeah, they've been pretty bad for a while. Don't forget they had the first pick what in 2014. That, or 2015 when they picked Jameis Winston.
That is true.
So they've been bad for a while now. I recently, obviously, at the start of the podcast, announced my new fandom for Tom Brady. I just think it's miraculous. A 43-year-old, regardless of what teams they're playing or who he did well against and who he did poorly against, to throw, what, 36 touchdowns to 11 interceptions or something crazy like that. Just miraculous, and I think it's a testament to – you know, to his, you know, work ethic and mindset. So good for them. I think they look really good coming into the playoffs, but not that high on them, believe it or not. I know they were my preseason Super Bowl pick. Their defense makes me a little bit nervous. They're pretty undisciplined and they can get undisciplined, you know, just to repeat myself out on the field. And I think it hurts them come playoff time.
They are right now – they're going to play the winner of the NFC East. So they're going to play Washington or Dallas or the Giants in the playoffs most likely.
I know. So – and it's going to make me sad because I want Washington to get in, and I was kind of hoping they'd win a playoff game. But I will be fully rooting for Tampa Bay in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't – hey, what if Tampa Brady comes into FedEx Field and loses? Wouldn't that be something?
Alex I wouldn't Smith. Be surprised. I feel like every time a team under 500 gets in the playoffs, they win a playoff game.
I think they have. I think you had the Beast Quake game for the Saints. They were 7-9.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the Panthers, I think, were 7-8-1 the year they won the NFC South. And they beat the Cardinals because I think the Cardinals had Carson Palmer. Everybody got hurt, all the quarterbacks in Arizona got hurt, and it was they're on their third string or something like that. So I think you're right. I think the two teams that have made the postseason with a losing record, which is what will happen at best, the football team will be 7-9. I hope everybody loses. Actually, could they lose and still get in?
Who?
6-10?
No,
because
they have to win.
If Dallas wins, they'll have 7 wins. If the Giants win, they'll have 6 wins, and they'll have the tiebreaker over them. So they have to win. 7-9 will get you into the playoffs. But wouldn't that be something? They probably will win. They probably win a playoff game. It's just how it happens.
I don't know. I'm still rocking with the Bucks. If the Bucks have to play them, the Bucks are going to win. I don't know how the seeding is all going to work out with everything, but I'm assuming they reseed after the first round, right?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure they do. But I was going to say, I think it's going to be a Tampa Bay-Green Bay NFC championship matchup. But that might not be able to happen based off of seedings.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you this one. 2 weeks ago, the last time we were on the podcast, we ended the show with you saying Mariota is going to – did you say he was going to start or play?
I said he was going to come in.
And what did he do?
He came in. Because Derek Carr pulled his groin. He came in and balled out, sparked huge. And that's what I love about the media, because all year long I was reading things saying, why would the Raiders spend money on a backup that's never going to play? They gave him $17 million for him to sit on the bench. Boom. That's why he comes in and balls out and is the only reason, really, that the Raiders had a chance in that game. Sparked debate across the country, which this is when I love the media, because they hype up my man Mariota, saying he's the best backup in football and he's going to compete for starting jobs next year and he should be the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. So it just pumped me up. And I hate to see Derek Carr get hurt. I'm glad it wasn't serious. You know, good for him being able to come back these last 2 weeks here and start again for the Raiders. But I do think this was really good for Mariota. I think it proved he could still play. It proved he's competitive and is willing to do whatever for a team to win. And call me conspiracy theorist, but I think the reason the Raiders are letting Derek Carr play injured and uncontested these last 2 weeks is because this is, I think they're going to move on from him in the offseason. I think they're going to trade him. Mariota's cheaper. Mariota showed he can still play. I think what they do long term, they trade Derek Carr. They get more picks for him. And I think they eventually, in this class or next year, draft a quarterback of their own and have Mariota kind of run the helm until they groom that guy. That's my conspiracy.
How happy were you when Mariota came into the game?
Oh, dude, my heart, like, dropped. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, I called it. I was like, he's coming in.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I mean, it was a Thursday night game. It was the Raiders and Chargers. And, I mean, it was a great game. Went to overtime. Herbert scored the game-winning touchdown on a QB sneak there. But it would have been sweet if Mariota would have won. And
I know. All they had to do was not give up a touchdown, and they give up a 90-yard bomb, or I think it was like a 60-yard bomb on like the second play of their possession in overtime. I was so annoyed.
And sticking with the Raiders, I mean, the Saturday game this week against the Dolphins was insane.
They've blown it. They should have two more wins. I guess you could say that they should have lost to the Jets then as well, and it cancels out. But they've had some wild games down the stretch, have they not?
Yeah, I mean, they lost to the Falcons by 40-something, by 37 points. That's pretty crazy. Wild. Yeah, and then Fitzmagic coming in off the bench. What in the world's going on in Miami where you just got to – and Flores was like, yeah, he's our closer. Like, we need someone to come in the ninth, like, we've got
him. I don't hate it. For the short term, I don't hate it. For the development of Tua, I think it could hurt him a little bit because you're not putting him in those situations. But, hey, maybe it helps him because then he doesn't have, like, he doesn't lose that confidence. If you tell him ahead of time, like, hey, like, if things aren't going well or the offense is stagnant or you're just struggling, we're going to bring in our version, a football version of a closer. It might actually enable him to keep his confidence. So I'm curious to see the psychological effects of Tua. I wish I could talk to a sports psychologist about this to see what he thinks, but I think it's really interesting what they're doing in Miami, and I think that they're a really good football team. That defense is awesome. So I'm curious to see kind of what happens moving forward with them in the postseason.
Yeah, I like them. They are definitely 100% frisky. I like them a lot. Moving on to the college football. So when we last came on, it was getting ready to be championship week in college football. So Clemson, they won the ACC. Alabama, they won the SEC. Ohio State, they let them play. They won the Big Ten. And then I don't even know who won the Pac-12.
Oh, Oregon won. Come on, the Ducks, baby.
So those are your winners. Obviously, everyone wanted all they cared about is who's getting into the Final Four, the college football playoff. We've got Alabama. We've got Clemson, we've got Ohio State, we've got Notre Dame. Were you good with this? Or are you not good with this?
So honestly,
Notre Dame got absolutely smoked by Clemson in the ACC championship.
So my thing was going into it, I said if Notre Dame gets smoked,
which they did,
but Florida had to win to get in. They obviously didn't. So my whole thing, and I would be more upset about this because I think two teams got in that probably shouldn't be in. Ohio State played six games. You can't tell me they deserve to be in after six games. Notre Dame beat an absolute depleted Clemson roster. No Trevor Lawrence. They were missing five defensive starters, and it took them overtime to do it. So then when Clemson's healthy, they absolutely steamroll Notre Dame, which I honestly anticipated. I thought Clemson was a significantly better team. So I think Notre Dame's poopy. I think Ohio State's not worthy because they only played six games. But I have no complaints because who the heck else am I going to put in there? Cincinnati would lose by 100 to Alabama. Texas A&M already lost by 100 to Alabama. So what gripe do I have? Are you going to put Oklahoma in? I mean, they have two losses. So it's like, while I don't think Ohio State and Notre Dame are that good, I just literally think it's Alabama, Clemson, and everybody else. And I do think Ohio State's good enough to win a game. So my beef with them is solely they only played six games. But I'm not too upset about it.
Yeah, it like it's hard to like you said, who you're gonna take? You're gonna take A&M. A&M, their only loss was to Alabama. And then are you gonna take Cincinnati? Probably.
My That's why they is, just they need to expand the playoff. I think it just makes it so much easier.
But either way, Notre Dame's probably gonna get smoked by Alabama. A&M's probably gonna get smoked by Alabama. Cincinnati's probably gonna get smoked by Alabama. The fan in me honestly would like to see a Cincinnati get in.
Right, and I do agree with that. But at the same time, if we're talking about the reason you want to do it is to create the best matchup.
Right.
Like, I'm not upset that they didn't put Cincinnati in.
Yeah, like, is Cincinnati better than Notre Dame? I don't – probably not. I don't know. Yeah. But for me, it's like, okay, if you're a group of five conference team, like, you're never going to make the playoff.
Right.
Like, there's literally nothing else you can do except all your non-conference games be, you know, either ranked SEC schools.
Right.
Or a ranked, you know, Pac-12 schools start the year, like, and you win those games. That's the only way. So, you know, part of me is just like, just let Cincinnati in. They're going to lose. Everybody's going to lose to Alabama. So, whoever that four seed is. So, just let Cincinnati in and see what happens. But, I mean, that's never going to happen.
Literally, like a team, what Cincinnati would have had to have done in a normal year, even this year, to get into the playoffs, they would have had to schedule like Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and like Oregon, and win all those games to get in.
Because even if, let's just play a game here where Notre Dame beats Clemson, and let's say Northwestern beats Ohio State.
Yeah.
Does that get Cincinnati in? You have two lost Clemson team, and you have a one loss Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a great question. If that would happen,
And you would say A&M would probably jump into one of those four spots. I don't know if Cincinnati even then would jump a Florida or Oklahoma after winning their Big 12 championship. Like, I don't know. There's hypotheticals, and it's just for me. It's just like, well, I'd like to see them play. They play Georgia in the Peach Bowl. Cincinnati does.
I think I might pick Cincinnati to actually win that game, similar to the way the UCF beat Auburn a few years back. Yeah. It just means more to them.
Yeah, that's a lose-lose game for Georgia because being down in Atlanta, Georgia football is a big deal, and like it's like national championship or bust down there for them. And it's a lose-lose for them because if they win, it's like, oh, you beat Cincinnati, like, no big whatever. Like, and if you lose, it's, I can't believe you lost to Cincinnati. So right. not a good situation for Georgia football in terms of just the optics of it. But
I will say I love New Year's Day. I love watching the New Year's Six Bowls, and I love watching the playoffs. Regardless of who's in it, I'm going to be sitting there watching those games. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it'll be good. That is tomorrow.
Yep.
New Year's Day.
Right. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And then lastly, in the 2 weeks, obviously, after everything that's going on, we got the NBA back.
NBA's back, and John Morant is already hurting my fantasy team. I'm not excited about it. He's out 3 to 5 weeks.
You play fantasy basketball?
I do. It's honestly, I think fantasy basketball is my favorite fantasy.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't understand it because there's games every night. So, like, how do you?
They do it by category. So it's the same thing with fantasy baseball. And there's different ways you can do it. The way we do it is we do 9 categories. It's like points, rebounds, assists, 3-pointers, field goal percentage, free throw percentage, steals, blocks. Did I say rebounds? Rebounds. And then turnovers. And the more turnovers you have, the obviously the worse.
So, don't want turnovers.
Right. So if you have – so if I have 100 turnovers and the person I'm going against has 90, they win that category. And you go by category. So if out of 9 categories, if I win 5 of them, my record's 5-4. And it builds off of that like that. So then the next week, if I'm 5-4 again, I'm 10-8 overall.
Oh, so it's not like you beat someone and you're 1-0.
Correct.
Well, this is a great segue into fantasy, and then we'll jump back to the NBA. So thanks to all the haters out there. If you follow us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, Colin and I played each other in the semifinal of our fantasy league 2 weeks ago. last week, 2 weeks, whenever it was. And Collins 12-2. I was 7-7 going into the semifinal matchup. We showed everybody their lineups, and we asked who was going to win. On Instagram, I think 88% of you guys said Colin was going to win. And on Twitter,
I was a heavy favorite.
On Twitter, I think it was like 67% said you were going to win. So I was underdog in both social media platforms. I ended up winning, heading to the Fantasy Super Bowl. So shout out to all the haters, because I won.
I called you, I congratulated you, and I couldn't watch the rest of it because I was so upset and devastated. I had TJ Hawkinson and I had Amari Cooper, both who hadn't scored under 10 basically all year, each get me 1 point. I was devastated. My defense got me negative points. It was a catastrophe. It was an utter catastrophe.
So I
went
up,
matchup based. Sorry. I went the 49ers good. Defense against the Dallas freaking Cowboys, who had been horrible all year, and the Cowboys hung 40 on them. It's just, oh, I was devastated. It hurt so bad. So bad.
Hello, Jared. I just want to congratulate you on your upset victory. I will not be able to force myself to watch the remainder of the games in which your players are playing because it hurts me too much. If I were to lose, I'm glad it was to you. Congratulations. If I somehow end up winning, let me know because I am utterly depressed. Thanks. Bye.
So the final score was 150 to 130. Got the W. I mean, none of my players really – I had two guys who did really well. I had DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley both get me 30-plus, which was huge. But, I mean, Gallman got me 2 points. Goddard got me 7. You know, nothing crazy. Cole Beasley stepped up for me, which was huge that game. But this is the whole season. The whole season you've been trying to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. You wanted DeAndre Hopkins, and I didn't do it. I held my ground, and he put up 30 against you in the semifinal to send me to the Fantasy Super Bowl.
Yeah, but then what blows my mind is this week I get 160 points for the third place game. So at least I won some money.
Yeah.
It's not the money I wanted, not what I expected to win, being 12-2 and leading the league in scoring. So, but
yeah, so then I go and
take money home.
I go into the Fantasy Super Bowl thinking, okay, you know, I might have a chance. The person I'm going up against, they're projected to win, but guess what? Every time I play, I'm projected to lose and I still somehow win. So they've got someone on their team playing Friday night, Christmas night, by the name of Alvin Kamara. I'm like, okay, it's kind of concerning. Alvin Kamara is probably the best player in fantasy this year, especially when Drew Brees is playing. And, you know, I got the TV on. I see I check my phone, see Alvin Kamara scored. Not happy about it. And then I see that he scored again. So in two possessions, he's got 20 points on me. And so I'm like, all right, this isn't good. And I take a break. It's Christmas Day. I'm doing other things, eating dinner. And I come back into the TV as he's scoring his 6th touchdown of the game. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy, he scored 6 touchdowns, something that hasn't been done in 90 years. And it happens against me in the Fantasy Super Bowl. They had some stat where he had the second most fantasy points in the history of fantasy, dating back to Jerry Rice had the most points against somebody doing in like the 80s or whatever. I'm like, this guy, how does this happen to me?
Yeah, it was actually a weird week of fantasy sports. A ton of teams or a ton of players absolutely blew up. So my third place game, going into it, I'm going to the final night. I have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs left. I'm down 60-some points, and I end up winning by 10 because Stephon Diggs got 40 and Josh Allen got, I think, like 32 or whatever. So I ended up winning. I couldn't believe it. So I ended up scoring 160 points in my third place game. I was like, oh, this would have been really nice to have in the semifinals. Against Jared, but
the problem is your 160 still wouldn't even been good enough to win the championship because of Kamara, which is stupid.
I know, which is fine. I would have still rather flipped my performances. I would have rather had 160 in the semis and 130 in the finals and won an extra, you know, $100 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But next year I think we should do a bigger buy-in.
What did we do this year? 50?
Yeah, it should be like 100 minimum.
I don't know about all that.
I was talking to Lukey Lips about he wants to do a I think he said he wanted to do a dynasty league or something and have like a crazy high buy-in. So there might be a little bit of a shake-up
in the Bucknell.
Yeah, I might be making a comeback.
So in my three leagues, not that anybody cares, I got second, I got third, and I made the playoffs. And I lost to the eventual champion, Colby Klingerman. Shout out, Colby.
Colby Klingerman. Good for Colby, because I roast him just about 24-7 about everything fantasy.
He gets engaged, and then he gets good at fantasy. I don't understand.
Congrats, Colby, on the engagement. I don't think we ever announced a congratulations on the podcast, because I'm pretty sure you got engaged within the 2 weeks of us not recording.
That's probably true. So NBA, I have nothing to add on the NBA. Hawks.
NBA's back. Nobody cares.
The Hawks are undefeated. So
the Hawks, Trae Young's on my fantasy team. He was my first pick. Good. He's awesome.
That's a good pick. Yeah, the Hawks are undefeated, and the Magic are undefeated. Two teams you would not think would be undefeated. Wizards are 0-4. After getting Russell Westbrook, so that's going well.
Yeah, he kind of stinks, man.
Rockets are 0-2.
We could touch on the James Harden strip club drama, because he wants out of Houston and nobody likes him there in Houston. I think they're winless, if I'm not wrong.
You are not wrong. They are 0-2.
Yeah, they stink. He stinks. But yeah, that is what it is. Yeah. I don't really care.
When should I start caring about basketball? At what point of the year?
I mean, I care all the time because of fantasy, but it won't really matter until we're about 3-4 months in.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a shortened season by 10 games. It's a 72-game season this year. So should we get League Pass? Do you have League Pass?
I had it last year, but when I started working, I started going to sleep significantly earlier. So I don't watch any of the late games, and those are the ones I typically care about more, so I canceled it for this year. If you want to get it, we can. I'll split it with you because it's cheaper.
I'll think about it. How much is it? Do you know?
Are
there different tiers of
League Pass? Off the top of my head, yeah, there are. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I don't either. Let's see. Did we go through everything in the last 2 weeks that's happened?
Yep, basically, I think so, basically.
Basically, we've got it covered. Do you want to take a break and then talk a little playoff scenarios for week 17?
Yeah, we can. I also just want to say real quick, I'm really glad the Steelers suck and lost 3 straight.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was another thing. Steelers are the worst 11-0 team in NFL history.
Yep. Agreed.
All right, well, we'll take a break and see you guys on the other side.
Hey guys, this is Kojo from the Kojo and JMO show. I wanted to take a quick little break to talk about Anchor. Anchor has done an incredible job making it extremely easy to upload podcasts online. One of the best parts about it, it's free. Free 99, as JMO likes to say, it is free 99. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. They have made it incredibly easy for us. I know nothing about technology. I'm technologically inept, and they've made it incredibly easy for us to do this. So please go check them out. Again, as my co-host JMO likes to say, it is free 99.
All right, we're back. Going to do Sports Jeopardy question of the day. So this might be the final official Sports Jeopardy of the day. Santa Claus got me a... So, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, the regular Sports Jeopardy of the Day daily calendar is nowhere to be found. Doesn't exist.
Gone forever.
Gone forever. They stopped making it. I don't know what happened. So, I've got a different Sports Jeopardy. It's a goat. It's like a goat Sports Jeopardy. So, it's like the goats of all these sports. So, it doesn't give me a dollar amount on the questions, but... I can create dollar amounts. I don't know if you've paid attention, but every single day of the week, it's a specific dollar amount for our Sports Jeopardy.
Right.
So I could do the same thing for that. But anyway, do you remember what you were up? Was it 5,800?
I'm up. Yep, something like that.
Something like that. Were we cashing out after today? As the
we
final
are cashing
episode?
Out at outside of today.
And starting new for
and
2021.
Starting new for 2021.
I like it. Okay. So the category of today's question: New Year's Eve. Annual events.
Huh.
It's a $400 question. From 1890 to 1901, various sporting events took place after an annual Pasadena parade. In 1902, this sporting event took over. I'm going to read it one more time.
Go ahead.
From 1890 to 1901, various sporting events took place after an annual Pasadena parade. In 1902, this sporting event took over.
Is this the Rose Bowl? Like, is that what it's asking me?
Is that what your answer is?
Yeah, it's got to be the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all.
Final answer is the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on now.
So you go up, I think, if the math is correct, 6,200?
I'm cool with that. I will rock the new, or the old year on the hottest hot streak I've ever had.
You used to be down 3,000, and you've worked your way back up.
I know. I think I answered, like, out of the last 10 episodes, it had to have been, like, 9 out of 10 right.
Yeah, you've been on fire. It's crazy the Rose Bowl won't be in Pasadena this year.
I know, it's sad. That's my favorite bowl every year. They're playing at what, Arlington, right?
Yeah, in Jerry's World down in
Texas. Jerry's World.
All right, so congratulations for that. We'll do 2021 new Sports Jeopardy. Playoff scenarios going into Week 17. This is a weird week. It's an exciting week. It's we figure out what teams are in the playoffs. We talked about the NFC East and what needs to be done there. If Washington wins, they're in. We talked about the Rams, Cardinals. You win and you're in. You touched on the Packers, Bears, where the Packers need to win for the one seed, to hold on to the one seed, and the Bears need to win to get into the playoffs. And I mean, lots of games this week of you gotta win. It's crazy how the AFC has so many good teams, and it's very possible an 11-5 team is on the outside looking in, which is crazy.
I know. And one thing I do want to say, touching, you know, on these playoffs before we, you know, go into our you know, $100 bets or whatever, I do want to say is I absolutely do not want the Bills to have to face the Ravens early in the playoffs. If the Bills face the Ravens early in the playoffs, they will lose. If the Bills manage to face the Ravens in the playoffs after a win under their belt, I do think that they will win and come out of the AFC. I actually think they match up really well with Kansas City. They don't give up a ton of big plays, and they're stopping the run much more effectively now than they were. And on offense, they're a juggernaut, and they can blow up. But the Ravens are a matchup problem for the Bills. I don't want them to see the Ravens, at least until they have a win or two under their belt and they got their mojo going again.
I mean, the Bills are hot.
And that's what makes me nervous about resting guys week 17.
So what's happening with the Bills? So you're much more in tune than I am. So are they resting Josh Allen?
I saw something. So one of their reporters said that they're keeping it under wraps right now. They're not coming out publicly with it yet, but they do plan on resting guys. So I would assume Josh Allen will not be playing.
So they're playing Miami. Buffalo's a 1-point favorite.
That's crazy. What do you use?
So I'm on, right? So on DraftKings,
Yeah, I was going to say DK, there's no line.
But I'm looking at on ESPN, at their scoreboard, it says Buffalo -1. So
yeah, I would take, if I knew that, I would have taken them as well. Or I would have taken Miami, but.
Miami +1.
Yeah.
So the Ravens, they need to win. They're playing the Bengals. The Steelers and the Browns. The Steelers aren't playing for anything. They're resting Big Ben. This game for Cleveland is
everything.
Is the biggest get the monkey off your back game
in history, maybe.
Yes. Yes. How many times have they've been the Steelers' little brother for years? They've lost.
They're still going to be the little brother, even if they win this.
Yeah, yeah, they still are until they can kind of continue this path that they're on. But it comes down to Week 17 against the Steelers. Fortunately, it's not in Pittsburgh because they've lost, what, 12, 13, 15 in a row in Pittsburgh?
I don't know, a lot.
So it's in Cleveland. This is the biggest get the monkey off your back, win, and you're in the playoffs for the first time since 03.
Something like that.
And you got to beat the Steelers. You got to go through Pittsburgh. They're not going to play Big Ben. You know, Who's their backup quarterback? Mike Vick?
Mason Rudolph.
Oh, you're right. This is a Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett revenge game.
Yes, it is.
You can't lose this. Cleveland, you cannot lose this game. This is it. If you lose this game, you're staying in purgatory. If you win this game, you're emerging from the depths of hell into playoff. The
depths of hell.
Into playoff, you know, majesty.
All right. I think we can go right from there. You lay that out pretty well, right into our $100 bets.
Yeah, you want to go to it?
Yep. I think I lost the last time we were on the mic.
You did lose. I'm trying to see what our standings are. So I won. Let's see how many have I won. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've won 4. You've won.
I think 5, 4, and 1. Oh, 6.
6. So 6, 4, and 1.
Nice.
For you, 4, 6, and 1 for me.
So that means I won on the regular season.
I guess you're the regular season champ. Do we want to run it through the postseason and cut it off at some point in the postseason, or end it now? End it after this week.
So do we just want to do two separate ones? One for regular season and then one for postseason?
That's fine. We can do that.
All right, cool. So I'll go first, though, because you did beat me last week. Or 2 weeks ago, whatever. I was feeling generous. You know, I wanted to give you one so it felt a little closer of a matchup, but nonetheless. So first one, you just talked about the game. I got Steelers plus 10. I think the Browns win, but the Steelers are going to keep it close because the Steelers hate the Browns, and I hate social media because I have no idea why the Steelers and Steelers fans get so fixated on the Browns. Like, why do you care what they say? The Browns have stunk for the last 15 to 20 years. So just quit talking about them in the media. But the Steelers get up for this game. It's going to be a between a 3- and 7-point game. The Browns will win, but Steelers will keep it close. Minus 113 odds or whatever.
How much you putting on it?
Oh, I forgot to put money on it. I'm just going to go 25 through for all these.
Okay.
Without thinking too much. Next, I got the Washington football team minus 1.5. I think that they win. I think that particularly if Alex Smith plays, I love this bet even more. I'm destiny. I'm big on destiny, and I think that Alex Smith is destined to lead them to the playoffs after everything he's been through. A big Ron Rivera guy too. So I like Washington football team minus 1.5, minus 113 odds. I got the Raiders minus 2. I'm a little nervous about this one, but I think that they're going to go out with a bang. They need to win. They blew it the last 2 weeks. I think they go out on a high note. They beat the Broncos. And again, I'm 25 on all these, but minus 2 and then minus 110 odds. Then my parlay, it's 1,070 odds.
Whew.
I got the Texans beating the Titans and the Bears beating the Packers. Two-team parlay plus 170 odds. Or 1,070 odds.
That's not horrible. It's a long shot, but
I'm known for long shots here, Jared. I've hit a few this year.
Okay. I don't really have – I have a problem with one of them, obviously, naturally. but the Pittsburgh one makes sense. For the Browns to be favored by double digits against the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though Pittsburgh – like, is Big Ben that big of a difference? Because I think I saw, like, Tomlin came out and said that we're not resting guys. Like, you know, Big Ben might not – Big Ben's not playing, and you might see one or two more guys not playing. Like, this is still the majority of the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be on the field on Sunday. And for them to be underdogs, 10-point underdogs, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, they're coming out for that game.
And Darren Waller needs 2 more catches to get the 100 receptions, so Vegas has something to play for there. All right, well, I'll go to mine. I've got Kansas City, Los Angeles Chargers. The over-under is 44 points. I don't understand that.
I don't think Mahomes is playing.
I'm taking the over. I don't care if Mahomes is playing. Herbert's good enough to get you 20-something. and the Chiefs' offense is good enough to get you 20-something, that's 20-something plus 20-something will get you to 40-something.
And that will be it. Math is our strong suit on this show.
That will get you over 44. Next, and this is where we differ, and this is where you're wrong. This is where you don't understand what it's like to be a Philadelphia Eagles football fan.
The Eagles.
The Eagles are going to win on Sunday.
No, they're not.
They're going to win for no reason and ruin the football team's season. I'm telling you, this is how it happens. The Eagles are going to win. I'm taking them plus 1.5. And why in the world is this game flexed to Sunday Night Football?
Because it's the Washington football team. They need it. They need the playoffs.
Why do we have to put the Eagles in primetime again? Why can't we flex the Rams Cardinals? Why can't we do that one?
Because that's a battle of the backup quarterbacks.
I know. We don't need to see the Eagles in primetime again. Not not good. But they're going to win the game. I'm telling you, they're going to win the game for no reason and screw everything up, screw up their draft pick, screw up the football team.
So what, are you taking their money line then, or what did you say you're taking them?
I'm taking Eagles plus 1.5.
Okay.
Next, I'm taking the Rams. Rams minus 1. This is pretty much a pick 'em, and I think at the end of the day, the Rams are a better team. So, and
what
it's
if Kyler plays?
If Kyler plays, it could be a different story, but I think the Rams are the better team. It's in Los Angeles. John Wofford is going to be the quarterback. He was the Wake Forest quarterback. He played in the AAF.
Oh.
So, he might do something special. So, I got them. Oh, I forgot to put dollar amounts on all these. So, I'm doing $40 on the over for the Kansas City game. I'm doing $20, Eagles plus 1.5, and I'm doing, what does that give me, $20 left?
That's 60, so you have $40 left.
So let's do 20 on the Rams minus 1.5, and let's do 20 on my parlay. My parlay is the must-win parlay. So these are all teams that are in must-win situations. So you've got Baltimore. Baltimore's playing a really bad team. Who is it? The Bengals.
Yep.
Sorry, shoe. Baltimore's playing the Bengals. Cleveland. We talked about them. They're playing Steelers. Chicago over the Packers. That's where it gets dicey. Indy over the Jags. Tennessee over Houston. So all these teams need to win to get into the playoffs. Baltimore, Cleveland, Chicago, Indy, Tennessee. All five of those plus 487.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Your must win parlay.
I think you're going to hit that, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chicago makes me nervous, but oh well.
Yep. All right. Well, is that how we're wrapping up the old year?
Yeah, I don't have any gym corner stories for you guys. I've been back at my regular gym in VA, and it's calmer. It's more tame, so nothing crazy going on.
All right. Thank you guys for listening for the last time in 2020. We hope you have a wonderful new year. We hope you had a Merry Christmas, happy holidays. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure to follow us on all social media accounts at Kojo and JMO Show. Email us kojoandjmoshow@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to listen to us on all your podcast listening devices. We're there. Follow, rate, subscribe. 5 stars only. Have a great new year.
5 stars only. You guys know the rules. Happy New Year, guys. Thanks. We'll see you in 2021.